You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Passive Income Life Podcast. I'm Zach Zimmer. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about passive private equity investing in things that do not provide significant tax benefits. So particularly lending, promissory notes, those types of investing where you're just getting a fixed interest rate with no hard asset depreciation, bonus depreciation, cost segregation, which we covered in the previous episode.
What you gonna do? Welcome to the Passive Income Life Show, where we guide you to a seven-figure income with a special focus on making passive income so you can live the dream life. And now, here's your host, Zach Zimmer.
You can find me at realzachzimmer.com. And yeah, you're here joining me on this journey as I talk about the tips, tactics, tools, mentality, learnings that I've had on my way from taking $20,000 and turning it into over $60,000 a month in net income, mostly tax-free, sometimes all tax-free when I have enough losses. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today is an area of investing. We're going to talk about alternative investing that does not get tax benefits. And that's particularly money lending. And I kind of joked here, you heard me talk about losses. I have had some losses in money lending, so I don't hold anything back. Anybody that knows me locally and hears me talk anywhere realizes I talk more about the bad things that I've done. I put levity to situations that have cost me six figures and losses. And it's because, I don't know, it's just a way to kind of laugh about the situation. And I hope folks hear that and take more heed to those than the things that I talk about, okay, that can make you 20% or 30%, because losing your whole principal is much more impactful than making 20% or 30% on your money. So today with, you know, alternative investing that does not provide tax benefits is really just money lending. So it's promissory notes, hard money lending, anything in those spaces that's just going to get you that pure interest income or 1099 INT at tax time. And yeah, you have no ability to do anything with a 1099 INT, right? You can't depreciate against it. You can't have meals and entertainment against it. You can't have mileage against it. You get nothing. It's just pure interest, and that's how it goes in. So, you know, the first way that I got into money lending was a local real estate investor. So, I mean, not really my competition, somebody up north in Cleveland. I'm in the Akron-Canton area. And yeah, he wanted to borrow money for his acquisition side. He was acquiring properties off market. He needed either to wholetail them, flip them, or put them in as a rental portfolio and then cash out. And at that point, and I think I got into it more in like 2017. Yeah, I had a lot of excess funds. My real estate business was humming along, maybe consuming $400,000 or $500,000 of cash in that burr cycle of buying, rehab, rent, refinance, repeat. And so I had probably about $400,000 or $500,000 in that, buying bunches of houses, then cashing them out. But then I still had excess money that I wanted to put to work rather than just keep in the bank. And so I was offered 12% to send him money. And yeah, it started with $100,000. And then I think it got up to about $400,000 or $500,000 with him. And I got a monthly payment every month. So first of the month, it probably was, I'd get that interest payment of essentially 1 point a month. Right. So it was nice. I thought that was, I was very happy with that return. I think when I got the first tax statement for it, the 1099 INT, I started to realize, yeah, this is better than earned income, right? Earned income, you got to work for. Interest income, you don't have to work for it. So yeah, from that perspective, much better, but you get no benefits. So not as great as unearned income, but interest income is right there in between. I'd say the worst, right, is earned income. You got to work for it. It's taxed the worst. Interest income, you don't have to work for it, but it's going to be taxed. And then your unearned passive income in hard assets is by far the best, right? It's coming in passively and it has the best options to be able to depreciate it and deduct it and get it down to zero or close to. So yeah, when you get that 1099 INT, you're just going to get taxed on it. So it is good and nice and passive, but you got to be aware of that. And so that one went fine for years and years. When COVID hit, it did create an issue there with his ability to return funds. Interest was never stopped, but it did hinder his ability when I was requesting cash back to do my own things with it and get back into some other things. He was not able to return it to the manner that the note was structured for. So it did take more time. Now, COVID was something that affected a lot of businesses. But I guess the point there is still, it's out of your control. So if you're going to put money into a note like that, where you don't have collateral because you're basically giving them working capital, it is riskier. So, I mean, I would definitely say if you are newer into money lending, you want to do it as a first position lien on the property. That way, nothing can happen with the property without you getting paid off. So you are essentially like the bank, and that property can't get sold without you being your whole note and any interest or any past due being paid off. So that is the way when I invest or when I lend today, yes, it is first position liens with people I know. And yeah, I mean, I'm lending today at 15 points, which is pretty good. I know people that even get more, they get 15 and 2, 15 and 3. And that last number, the 2 or 3, that's the origination points. So they're getting a 2 or 3 point origination for the duration of that note. And they're giving, you know, maybe probably a 4 month, maybe a 6 month term. So if you hear something like that, if the note needs to go into a second term, those origination points are due again. So that is pretty painful for the borrower, right? If they were borrowing for a flip and they have, you know, it's not selling, the rehab took issues, and they have to pay those origination again. So it can be good for the lender. It's tough for the borrower. But I would also say if someone is willing to pay 15 and 2, 15 and 3, even no or more, it's probably a more riskier investment, because if they're willing to pay that, they should be able to find some better terms. So for some reason, they can't find better terms. So that by nature is going to be something to be a little more concerned about. So today, in terms of that type of lending, I'm just lending to local friends and some partnerships that I have to have much better understanding, much better. I still don't have control, right? They have it, but these are people I am very close with versus just lending it to anyone who would come up to me at an event and say, oh, I heard you lend money. Will you lend on my flip? I don't do that. There's too many options I have with people I really know and trust or people inside my other group. That's who I will lend with versus just random people who would come up at an event. So hard money lending, you know what I want to talk about. There's all sorts of other promissory notes that you can find out there invested in other things. There's a company that invests, you know, they bring in money through a note process to invest in like education and in setting up conferences and in training and masterminds. And then they also do some other things in real estate and then with e-commerce. So you can probably find notes in a lot of different industries, but the further you go away from real estate, the more you've got to understand the risks of no collateral, of just a questionable type of business. It could be ripe for fraud because you have no control. There's no asset. It's going into some type of a working capital, or who knows what type of business it's going in. So be questionable on that. I would say before I would look into that, I would look into some of the funds. You know, they used to be called Fund That Flip. Now they're called Upright. They are a national hard money lender. They have a fund that you can lend into and make about 10%, around a 10% interest rate. Another one is Fundrise. They're a big national fund company. They have a marketplace online, a whole bunch of different types of funds. They're very reputable, very well known. They have a credit fund that is lending more institutionally, commercially. into commercial type deals, covering bridge loans, covering those types of things. And I think they're paying out somewhere in that 10 to 12% range. So I would definitely feel more comfortable recommending one of those two if you don't have locked down close operators to you geographically that you can lend to if you are looking for hard money lending. So really, those are the only two that I get involved in when it comes to alternative investing with no tax benefits. It's just that lending side. And so there's probably some others out there. Well, I know there's different types of promissory notes, as I mentioned, online and all sorts of different things. I would steer clear. You know, I would just stick with notes tied to real estate, whether through a national company like an Upright or a Fundrise, or locally when you're vetting guys. So when you're vetting out local guys for loans, local guys or girls, we've had female flippers certainly as well. You know, the couple of things that you want to look into, I would definitely recommend you have flipped yourself before you lend to flippers. I could spend way too long here trying to tell you all the things you got to do. But if you haven't flipped houses yourself, then honestly, you should stay away from lending to flippers because you'll be ripe to take advantage of. So if you have flipped yourself, then you know the things to look into. What's the value of the property? How much of a lift do they have to do? You know, you can set up a draw type situation rather than give them all the money up front. Or better yet, you know, the most protection is you buy the house. You know, you work out a deal with them, you get a contract in writing, you buy the house, and maybe they come in and cover the rehab, the labor, the materials, and then you guys have a split on profits after that. That gives you the most protection. The house is in your name, so you control it. But, you know, if you do know and trust the person and you have flipped before, so you understand that their numbers aren't crazy, then yeah, you know, you get a first lien position and you get that recorded to the house and you are set. Right? Nothing can happen with that house without you getting paid off. Work out your terms with them of how you're, if you're going to do draws with them, or you're just going to give them everything up front if you really truly trust and know these folks. And then, yeah, you get all paid back at the end once it sells, or you can work out. Mostly what I do with my friends is, again, this is tightly done with them on just a promissory note. I'm not recording a first lien position because I don't want my money coming back after each house. I just give it to them. We've got a promissory note with a PG. Make sure you get a personal guarantee. You do not want to be lending money to an LLC. You can name the LLC, but you make sure that the person is personally guaranteed. So most of my loans here are just PG loans to my close friends that they use in their active flipping businesses. And these are very successful guys. They're just flipping 10, 15 houses at a time, or they've got wholesales and wholetails going on. So their businesses consume a lot of cash. And yeah, so I've got money to them at 15 points. You get that 1.25% every month paid to me. And when they are done using it, they can send it back. Or when I want it back, I've got call terms on how to call that money back. But that's what I like the most, given my lifestyle of the passive life. I don't want to deal with money coming back in and all the time from different closings. Here's how much I have with this person. Here's how much I have with this one. I know what those amounts are. I know what I should see from each one of them on the first in terms of an interest rate ACH payment to me. And I know, hey, if I want to call some money, right, I send this person a call request, and then we have terms of how many thousand per month, right? 50,000 every 30 days or 100,000 every 60 days. So that's how I can call that money back if I'm ready to have it, or they can just push it back when they're done. Hey, they don't need it anymore. They can push it back and it's all wrapped up. So that's how I like it. You may like it very much more deal specific. And I would definitely recommend that if you're newer and if you don't know these people, you want your first lien position and you want to get it back each time and maybe take some off the table, take the interest out of that. And if they want to do it again, but make sure you've got experience and can justify the borrowing amounts versus what the LTV, the loan to value, is going to be for the new appraisal value once they're going to sell that. So that's really about it. You know, private investing without tax benefits, there's not a lot of different things. It's just lending, but it is a nice little side stream for when you have more money than time and can put it into these other types of income streams and get that interest income. Although it doesn't get the benefits as we talked about. So it's not my favorite, but it's something. It's better than sitting in the bank, right? You'd rather pay tax on making 15% instead of making a quarter percent or something sitting in your bank account. All right. Well, that's it. Thanks for joining me here in the Passive Life. Again, you can find more or reach out to me at realzackzimmer.com, and we'll talk to you next time.